Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
It's being recorded, you guys.
It is.
You're in your car.
Did we start?
We did.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in my car. I'm super pissed.
Why are you super pissed?
I'll tell you this. I'm just thinking, like, you know, whenever we do our drive, you know, we're asking for money and stuff like that, people to pony up instead of just listening for free.
Yeah.
It's for times like this where my son's playing water polo right now, but I'm sitting in a fucking car and driving in a parking lot doing a podcast. And you have two shows tonight. You need to rest. But we're like, no, we got to shift this another hour out. Okay. So sorry, we asked for a little bit of money for that, but yeah. You don't have to be doing this. Okay.
No, we don't. But just think of the joy that we give. We give people joy.
I just give anyone joy? Only a sick perv got joy from that.
I'm going to be that person. You're still chewing gum and he's typing.
All
so,
right.
The it's two
out.
Of you.
On it. The cops are. It's,
yeah. Cation, what are you? The police? Yeah. I got a nose problem. So, I've learned many things. I'm at the Creek in the Cave here in Austin, Texas. Laura House has been doing guesties all weekend.
Woo! Oh my God. That is so awesome.
So great. She's such a great comic.
She lives how far from Austin? Not like an hour or what?
Not even, I don't think. I think they're right outside of town. So,
my God. That's so cool. Yeah.
So she's here. She's here for a while. She might come back to LA. We don't know. But we wouldn't want anyone to not employ her because she's willing to do the LA thing. Don't sweat it, anybody. And she's so funny.
There is no central location anymore. You know, it might see, you know, I mean, for stage time, there definitely are two central locations, but, you know, you can do comedy from anywhere now and Zoom shows count, you know, it's not the same,
yeah.
But if you're zooming from whatever fuck shit state you decided to hide out in, okay. It's here to stay. I mean, everyone thinks they're done doing Zoom shows. They're not. A lot of people don't want to go out, never will leave their homes again. And that's the only way to reach them.
Right. And some people are homebound and want to see stand-up comedy. How about that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So those shows, I think, will always exist because it'll be super fun.
Yes.
And I, you know, I've been trying to explain Zoom shows to people. You know, here in Texas, I was talking to somebody. I was like, you guys never even really shut down, right? And they were like, oh, no, we really shut down.
Hold on. I'm trying to get. I'm in my car and I was parked in reverse. And here's the thing. I just needed to make sure my key wasn't in the ignition so the battery would die. So now, I've upset my very careful placement of the iPad and it might fall. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, no, people are telling me, no, we shut down. We totally shut down for like 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, man.
I was like 16 months over here. And,
you know, yeah, it was like, I was, this won't be the end of your Texas stories. I just want to tag onto this sentiment is it was in a green room this week with somebody who had, you know, was like, I worked throughout the whole thing. I was one of those guys went all to all the red states. And I was like, you know, I didn't ask and I don't want to know. I would like to think the best of everybody. There's a few people who were so overtly public about, you know, saying fuck you to mask mandates and stuff like that, that I can't not know that they worked and probably caused more COVID and created more COVID. But a lot of you guys, I don't know, did that. Okay. So you don't have
keep
to
it to yourself.
Yeah. Keep it to yourself. Please. I don't want to dislike you. All right.
Right. Right.
I'm from the generation that was trained to look the other way. So please don't give me evidence. Okay. I don't want evidence.
Oh my God. That's so funny. A couple of comics came by last night. A guy that had been doing comedy for like 3 or 4 years, maybe more. He was my stepmother's favorite comic in 1981, 1983, in Milwaukee. A guy
Wait,
named
he's been doing comedy how long?
He started, I think, in the 70s, but he lives here now.
4 years. In Austin for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Well, he's been in let me start over. So sorry. A guy named Richard Hallis showed up to see the first show last night, where, by the way, I almost had a mini heat stroke because Texas is so freaking hot.
Right.
And
right.
I had low blood sugar for some reason.
Right.
And then, and it's, you know, you would think that there would be, that there would be enough fat on me that right. there would be no problem with low blood sugar, that my body right. would just naturally just go eat something that's over here on my left rib. Why don't you go have right. some of that?
Right.
And nope, low blood sugar is real, even if you're me. And so I get on stage and I'm a little dizzy. I'm sweating. So I have to take a knee. I have to take a knee. I did probably 5 minutes
stage?
Of my set. Yeah.
I love it. And you kept going?
Oh, yeah. I told people to sing the national anthem. And then, I had a seat. And then I told some jokes while seated on the stage. And then I slowly stood up. And I did a couple of bits. I probably did another 15 standing, 15 or 20. Took another knee. And I got off stage and Richard Hallis was like, "Were you having trouble breathing?" And I was like, "Was that why everyone was looking worried at me? Did they think that they were here to see me in my very last show as I fell over in a heap?" But the second show, for some reason, first of all, I got to eat something.
Right.
And I think the AC, you know, the sun went down and it just got cooler outside and
the AC
had a chance to kick in better. And second show was awesome. Second show was freaking awesome. And so Laura couldn't do the first show because she's writing on a show. So they write until when the early show starts. So she couldn't do the guestie, but she did a guestie second show, super fun. And she's up both shows tonight, which is awesome.
Oh, that's cool. The thing is sometimes we forget that we are subject to the same rules and laws as other humans, you know, and in terms of like just making sure you're well fed and hydrated and stuff like that. Because I remember when I fainted at Gotham, I had eaten nothing all day, which is a first for me, by the way. I was so upset because my son's father had just left the state for, mm-hmm. you know, and then I just had a glass of wine at Gotham on, I would say, an almost empty stomach. And that's when I fainted on stage. So anyway, the point is that happens sometimes. You have to monitor that shit, which is weird. Because you think, oh, I can drive 16 hours and do the gig. Like, you have done all these things, right?
Right, right. And sometimes it works.
Yeah, it often works. I can have a fever and do the gig. I mean, not now, guys. But back in the day, many fever shows.
Right. I did a show one time that was so, I had the worst. You know when you have the flu where you can't talk and you're talking like this and then you have a coughing jag and you cry? I did a show at Acme. I was headlining. Guess what I am? Replaceable. Holy smokes, they could have just gotten someone else to cover that night. It was because people still come up to me and was like, "That was the first time I saw you. That was super worrisome." And I was like, "Did you not have a good time?" They're like, "No, that wasn't fun to watch you cough and then try to whisper out a couple of jokes so they can have a coughing check."
Yeah,
and I was like, "You are correct.
People at that point, if people are convinced you're going to die, they don't want to invest in your career. Like, they're like, they're not going to be like, I don't want to be a huge fan of this comic because they've only got one more album left in them. If that."
Right. I keep, Okay. So I was listening to a set and I decided you ever have like six sets on your phone uh-huh. and you're like, I only want to listen to the one I remember went well.
Can I say the last time I had six sets on my phone was in the first week I had my phone. Because now I have 7,000 sets on my phone. Yeah.
Oh, right. When it gets over 10, I get embarrassed and I just start deleting them. So I didn't delete my 2020 Bloomington, Indiana set because it was, I thought, possibly the last set I would ever do on stage.
Oh, right.
So I kept all the Bloomington Comedy Attic stuff from March that I did with Carmen Morales. I kept those on my phone.
Yeah, it's good to keep this, especially if you got to go remember old material, which you don't right now. But in general, it's good to keep a perfect set on your phone just in case you got to go look up that.
Yeah. Bit. Yeah. So, but I listened to that because I have two bits that literally, when they hit great. When they don't hit, I see the flaws in those bits.
Yeah, so, right.
And I see why they're not hitting when they don't hit.
Yeah.
And people, and I don't think people are wrong. I think that sometimes the pacing and the set can be going so well that when I do the joke that doesn't always hit, it hits because of the pacing and because of the rest of the set. And
yeah. I believe that. Sometimes everyone thinks it's like, oh, and I think this too sometimes. In fact, I'll talk about it after you finish the story, but of the this joke's too dark for people. And sometimes it's like, no, it's just how you approached it and how quickly you told it or what, you know, what the, whatever space you gave them to judge something.
Yeah.
But go ahead and I'll tell you my little revelation.
Well, no, just it's either because the joke, there's two things that are happening. Either the joke isn't done,
right?
Or and it works because of pacing sometimes, and then it doesn't work when it's an audience when the pacing isn't perfect,
right?
And then, or the joke is done, and it always works. I mean, there's two times it might not work, but there's one time when it's always going to work. And that's when it's done. So.
True. Yes, it's true. So like, So I've been trying to figure out how to jump into my mom stuff, right?
Right.
And there's no good entry point.
Right.
It's a major gear change, right? And I've been giving people a little heads up without saying what we're talking about. And that seems to be not helping. and then like I did a show at this bowling alley in Encino and it was a lot of fun, but it was, not Encino, Simi Valley.
Okay.
So Simi Valley is the home of white cops and their wives and girlfriends. Okay. So it's that mentality. And so they like some jokes and then they're like, at some other ones. And they got really mad. They got really mad at my mom jokes. And then I got mad back at them.
Yes.
And, so it was fun. Cause I had the support of the comics in the back, which is even worse when you're, when you start going after the audience and some of the comics are like, you can see them going, torch these fuckers.
Get them.
But afterwards I was like, this isn't how I want to handle it all the time. I don't want I don't want to be like your pussies for not laughing at my act. Like that's not, you know, every once in a while. Okay. But that's not how I want this to go in general. So, so then last night I was at, the West Side in Santa Monica. And oh my God, it's so beautiful.
They fix it up even more?
Chris Gorbos, who owns it. It's just a beautiful. And the bathrooms, you know what? Have some brand before you go out there and then take a shit in that bathroom because
it's got like all
the silver tin stuff on the ceiling and they're painted this beautiful dark green, but they have white tile and then old fixtures. It's just gorgeous. And
this
green
is the West Side Theater in the alley.
Yes.
Okay.
And the green room is great. And, you know, it, the whole thing, the whole club just looks like it was scrubbed to pieces, you know. And
I bet you he got the PPP. Yeah, go ahead.
He did. Yeah, he did. He talked about it. Awesome. He said he did. Yeah. I hope every incorporated person or business should have got some PPP, honestly.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So, so it was two shows, and it was, and the first show was sold out, and just it was so fun. It was, and oh my God, I saw so many great sets. Chris Estrada was there; he was hilarious. Zenaib Johnson was there,
nice.
Hilarious. Jenny Zagrino was
nice,
killing. She has this bit. I'm just give you the very basic structure about where she calls herself fat, and then the bit is about people's reaction to her using that word to describe herself without being mortally depressed and just using it as an adjective. And it's really, really funny. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And it's so different from how female comics were permitted to discuss their bodies in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, you know? And in the 70s, you had Joan Rivers, who was literally anorexic, calling herself fat and negatively. And now you have Jenny Zagrino just going, you know, I own it. I'm fine with it. And if, you know, and then having great jokes about people's
other people's
discomfort, which I thought, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
That's an awesome take on it. Here's now, take or leave this, but I was thinking, you know, everybody is opening up with what, with some talk about the pandemic and the COVID and all this stuff. What if you just open on the dead mom stuff? You think that it's a hole that you would have to climb out of? But I think that because then you wouldn't have to get into it. You could just go right to it because you're addressing the pandemic.
I'll try it. My next set's a Zoomer at Flapper. So I think everyone there knows she died. But then the next set after that is I don't know. I got to find a show with regular audience members and not sympathetic.
And then
not sympathizers in the audience.
And my next show after this one is I'm in Costa Mesa opening up for Maria. And there's no way I'm going to be able to tell if my gender sexuality joke with this weird sort of dead spot in the middle that I'm worrying and this other thing. There are two spots in that one that are the two spots I'm talking about before. And there's no way to tell it in front of a Maria Bamford out.
I know.
Because they are the nicest people on the planet.
You know, that's so interesting because I was going to bring this up last time we talked and I forgot is especially during Pride Month, you know, you're doing a lot of shows with a very high percentage of gay audience members that are, you know, everyone's talking about it. Everyone's out about it. And so when I, a straight woman, talk about men in my act, everyone knows I mean straight men, right? And and I'm talking to an audience that's not, cherry picked. You know, it's just whoever came in, and it's mostly, I would say, a majority straight audience in a regular in a comedy club that's handing out coupons and stuff, right? And so I'm just saying men. Now I mean straight men, but I was like, should I, okay, if I'm in front of an audience that's hardly has any straight men in it, so, you know, the men that I'm complaining about are actually not in the crowd, you know, the guys in the crowd are probably fucking super hella cool, you know, and aren't sexist against me, right? So then do I say straight men in whatever chunk I'm doing? And then that actually kind of changes it feels heavier to me, you know? I mean, I'm all about eliminating words. And so if my shorthand, when I say men in a certain voice, you know who the fuck I'm talking about. Okay.
You even know which straight white men you're talking about.
Exactly.
You're talking about that asshole. You know that guy.
They're all named Bill. You know those guys. But, so there's like a couple bits where I was like, I feel like my level of assumption is so high in this bit that for me to change it and add straight men, straight women, cis women, when a bit is not about that at all. I do have a bit about cis women where I use that phrase heavily, sure, but it's about cis women. So I just didn't do those bits, even though I thought they would do well. I was like, I don't know. I felt like I'm going to seem like I'm not aware of my audience,
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to look out in the audience and, oh, by the way, I've been trying to give away masks and nobody in Texas wants a mask.
Of course they don't.
So I'm going, and I'm like, you could also, they're very thin cotton. They would work really good with Windex, no streaks.
They're dish towels. Yes.
They're nice little rags that you could use because mm-hmm. I have thousands of them. Please take one. And
time to go to the UK, Jackie. They're shutting down again.
Yeah, and well, they ought, man. Mm-hmm. What'd they name the new strain?
Delta.
Okay.
After your favorite airline. That's why they did it.
Oh, no.
After the airline that's been hijacked twice in the last month. Like, Delta's had
enough. I was talking to my sister about this, and I said, I haven't been able to find even a reference to that. And Darla told me that somebody charged, they tried to hijack.
Yeah, two attempted hijackings of Delta flights in the last month.
And the flight attendants just tackled them and then knocked them out, right?
I would know.
It was like somebody off their meds who like had a flip out and ran towards the thing. The other one I think was more serious, but one of them, I mean, they're both serious, but one was like, is somebody just flipping out?
I think was that the one where the guy was a former flight attendant or an off-duty flight attendant was the off meds person?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So all I know is that, and I can see because Delta is the only one that's being as serious as they are about masks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They are literally just going. Remember I told you that they took that guy off the plane 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where he was some 25-year-old hulking dude who was just smirking. And yeah. We were still at the gate and the flight attendant got on the over the horn and she goes, you had to click that you were willing to wear a mask 3 times. If you are not willing to wear a mask, we're going to kick you off the plane. You can't fly on Delta. It's not going to happen. And they also, there's this whole thing about, you know, even if you're vaccinated, you have to wear the mask over your mouth and nose. If it comes below that, we will tell you. And we will tell you 3 times. And the third time, we'll give you a card that tells you that you cannot fly Delta anymore. So I think because they're so serious and they're so like hammered down on it, because as I've walked through the airports this trip, there were people with no masks on in the airport who were not being approached by bossy magoos going, hey, man, put on your mask.
In Texas airports, you don't have to wear a mask.
Airports, I think, are federally mandated. And until September.
But, okay, I don't know if you have
just
to
just enforcement. No, no, but, well, that's the law. I don't know what's being done. There's also signs all over this hotel saying you have to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. And every restaurant I walk into, it says, if you're not vaccinated, please wear a mask. And I don't trust.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to. What am I going to ask? It's just weird. No. So
these unvaccinated people, these disease savages, they love to flaunt the law. They love to go, fuck y'all, fuck all y'all. I'm not wearing no mask. So they love it. They love not getting vaccinated. When they walk into a restaurant, spreading their aerosols all over good people, they feel happy. Okay, that's who we're talking about, Jackie.
Oh my gosh. Laura House has such a great bit about aerosols and that I'm not going to ruin because everyone should see it. But I will say this. She was riffing about there is a giant stuffed bear on the stage of the Creek of the Cave, and it's life-sized. It's a life-sized brown bear with a life-sized salmon, like a pointy-toothed fish that it's holding onto. And it's huge, and it's real-looking. And then it has a tiny bow tie. But it also... Laura, the first show Thursday night, she came to the set. She was riffing on it. She turns away from it after riffing on it for about a minute or so and goes, how great would it be if it was animatronic? And then she just kept, she went back into her set. But I was like, oh man, that was so great. I wish it was animatronic.
Well, I love a stage with a fake bear on it. You know that I've said that since this podcast started.
It's one of the first things you told us when we first met.
You have two tonight?
Two tonight, 7 and 9 again, and then
those are early.
Yeah, everybody, you know, I'm back at the hotel by 11:30 these days. It's kind of great.
Is it a nice hotel?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice hotel. It's an indie thing attached to a Holiday Inn Express. So they have Cup of Waffle. They're doing Cup of Waffle.
I love Cup of Waffle, but you know what? You're in a state that has Waffle Houses all over it. So it's actually an insult to the greatest Waffle House in the history of the earth.
Here's what I'll say about a Waffle House. Going to take a controversial stand. Oh, don't enjoy a Waffle House. Don't do it.
Yes. Boo.
Boo.
Yeah, a couple of Californios not knowing that a Waffle House is gross.
It's exotic and delicious.
It's not gross. Your not food is prepared by someone who did time. And
you can go to a Denny's for that. You could go to a Perkins. You could go to a George Webb's. You could go to any number of George Webb's.
I think that last one's been closed for 30 years.
George Webb's is... It's in Wisconsin. I think there's still George Webb's in Wisconsin.
Next to a house, Wisconsin?
Who cares? I've never heard of them. Here's what I'm saying. You go to your Waffle House, the food is cheap, a 99% chance that your waitress is a single mother. So the money you save on the waffle, you fucking tip the shit out of her and you get to make somebody's day and have a delicious waffle at the same time.
Yeah, there's 31 George Webb's in Wisconsin. It is a Wisconsin-based...
Wow, so you went and looked up that information while I was speaking.
Yeah, well, it was the only way I could stand it. Anyway, your defense of the Waffle House is unfounded. I'm not saying that those people don't deserve a pension and a life to lead. I'm just saying that I don't like the seating. I don't like... It's almost always only a counter... And I'm
have booths all over. It's lined with booths.
Sometimes there's one in New Albany, Mississippi that has a couple of like two tops and then it's all, I'm not a fan of what am I 100 years old at a Woolworths? I don't want to go to some countertop diner kind of thing. I want there to be a booth.
They have booths. They have a countertop and they have the whole rest of it is lined with booths. I've been in a ton of them before. Okay. People are staring at me in the parking lot. Yeah.
Right. She's got, she's bought, I wonder if it's publicly traded. You should totally buy into Waffle House stock if it is publicly traded.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Should I tell the story and you can look it up?
No, so. I can't move my operation. If I move one square inch, my iPad's going to fall. Okay.
It's true. And we're going with video. I did a Dork Forest yesterday with Joelle Johnson, who has a new album out called Yell Joy.
Yay. And her Tonight Show was great. You should find her album.
Yeah, Joelle Johnson, all good stand-up comedy going on there. Her Dork Forest was about Gone with the Wind. And I have to admit, the movie, not the book.
Yeah.
I have neither read the book nor seen the movie. I've seen parts of the movie. I've seen Carol Burnett.
I used to love that movie. I loved Vivien Leigh's performance. I was obsessed with Vivien Leigh as a child. I read her biography many times. Yes. She had mental illness. Laurence Olivier was a fucking piece of shit to her. She was married to Olivier. Okay. And he considered her a movie star and he was a serious actor. But she was a brilliant actress as well. But she was plagued with mental health issues. And so I loved that movie because her performance is quite comic and really, and I didn't think about anything else. You know, I didn't think about any of the,
the socio-racial. Yes.
Yeah. Nothing. I was like 19 or 20. And, I loved her performance. I hated Olivia de Havilland's performance. I hated
Cindy. Who did Olivia Who did Olivia de Havilland play? Did she play
She played Melanie. She played
Melanie. Okay.
She was married to Ashley Wilkes, also just a cuck and a half. That's today's lingo. And you know,
this is not at all how this movie was described to me by Joelle Johnson. Joelle Johnson fell in love with Gone with the Wind when she was 11 years old.
Oh.
And, because she looked at it and she said to anyone who would listen, where are these dresses? Why aren't we all wearing these dresses?
It was a fashion thing.
Yeah, it was entirely the dresses. She was like, why has this ever stopped? Why aren't we wearing reams of fabric and hoops? And
sure.
And then she took me, this is the next episode, so it'll be tomorrow, but she took me scene by scene almost through the movie, 50 minutes of.
Oh my God.
And she talked about Melanie and how Melanie, is actually a good person, and but it isn't. And and how what's her face, Scarlett O'Hara, finally realizes that Ashley loves Melanie in those last moments, and always has. And and I was like, this is a movie about people making like terrible life choices. And she's
awful.
Right. And she's like, there's nothing I love more than watching white women make terrible life choices. and that was the only thing. And then it was really, and I didn't know what she was going to say about Gone with the Wind, because I had never seen it or saw it. But I thought that it might have had some, like, she was going to discuss the historical accuracy of the film.
Yeah, I mean, it's come under fire, and I think they released it with, like, some information up top, you know.
Well, she owns slavery, portrayed
as, you know, just adorable almost here, and no one's harmed, really. Everyone's in a good mood, you know.
Well, the one thing that we were talking about, which is of course obvious, is that people always, you know, were like, well, why did Mamie stay? Why did Pork stay? Why did Prissy stay?
Yeah.
Mamie, whatever. And as Joelle was pointed out, which I've heard before, but is an excellent point, is that it wasn't like anyone was, you didn't free these people with $100 in their pocket, right? There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere.
Exactly.
There was absolutely nothing. You were like, well, I have a job and a place to live, and it's horrible, but I'm going to stay. Anyway, so hey, let's take a break.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, and...
Okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
And let's do Comic of the Week.
Oh, yes.
Rose Matafeo, yes.
She's,
Matafeo.
I think we talked about her last week. She's, I believe, Kiwi.
That's right.
Yeah, from New Zealand. And she has this great show on HBO Max called Starstruck. I just finished the first season. It's so good. It's like maybe a 6 or 8 episode. It's like how fucking shows should be, where you don't have to make 22 and then beat it out for 6 more years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be another season, but it's beautifully shot. She's really funny. It's a great premise. It's about a normal girl, who hooks up with a movie star, and then they end up in a relationship that is, of course, very unbalanced because of who he is and who she is. It's really, really great. And it was very inspiring to watch when you see a comic, you know, come up with something in their voice and just hit it out of the ballpark.
Okay. So, and it's Rose, as the word Rose, _ Matafeo, Matafeo. And let's all go find her sort of straight up stand up. I'd love to see some of that too.
She did a half hour for HBO Max, so that's on
okay.
there as well.
So that's on there as well. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Rose Matafeo. I'm in. I'm excited to come home tomorrow. I am excited to come home tomorrow. And then I'm home for a week and a half. And then we go to Portland, Oregon, I believe.
Yes. It's not Maine, or I bought the wrong plane ticket. Yes, it's Portland, Oregon.
I do want to go to Portland, Maine. I did stand up there once. It was really fun.
I wouldn't mind going. Sure. I want to go everywhere as I've stayed frequently.
Yes.
That'll be cool. I have a new joke that, it's one of those where comics have come up to me and seen watched maybe a whole set or something, or maybe not. I don't know what they're doing in the back, but said, "Oh my God, I love that thing. You should do more with that." I'm like, it's just fucking brand new. Easy. I'm trying.
Right. It's three lines right now. Okay.
Yeah. But it's like when that feeling of, new joke sort of breaks open. It's like when you're cracking an egg, right. You're tapping it. And all of a sudden, boom, the yolk's all over the frying pan. You're like, I'm making an omelet. You know, this one's got many different ways to go. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you tell us the big picture or do I have to wait?
Nope, you gotta come see me live, bitches.
All right, fair enough. And feel free to come and see us at the Siren in Portland, Oregon on July 2nd and 3rd, because that is, it's important to me that I figure out how to do door deals. And one way that I can figure out how to do them in a positive fashion is if they sell out. Sure. That is the ideal. And
Do you know Cambry Cruz? She owns QED in Astoria, which we did a live. Okay. So we've done a live Jackie and Lori there. It's a great room. They have mostly stand up. They have lots of other performances there. She built it herself from scratch. I told Chris Gorbos, I'm like, you are the West Coast Cambry because you own this space, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still mortgaged and stuff, but like you renovated it yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, and they've been closed. QED's been closed for 13 months, of course. And, she was tweeting like, you guys think just cause we're open, it's all together. No, we still have a landlord who wants, you know, mortgage and rent from the last 13 months, et cetera, et cetera. And that somebody had called about a 9:30 show on a Saturday and asked if it was free. And she was so pissed. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you serious? How would you think any kind of performance venue could ever have a free show for the next 10 years?
You know? Or at least the next year, you know? And Jesus. It's, yeah. So.
And if you do go to a venue and for some reason you get in free, you got to buy shit there.
Yeah.
And don't buy water. Okay.
or buy the fanciest water or whatever. Tip big or something, right? Just make sure that you spend some money. If you're going to go out, figure out budget to spend some money because it's been a bad year.
Yeah. And, still in LA, we don't know if Comedy and Magic is opening back up yet. It hasn't opened back up yet. And the Ice House hasn't opened back up yet, which is weird because the Ice House is owned by one of the Laker family, one of the siblings that owns the Lakers. So I would think they would have the funds to stay open.
Right. You know? So, but Flappers is doing weekend shows now? Are Flappers doing...
Flappers, I think, is back to 24/7.
Okay.
Flappers never sleeps. You gotta love Flappers.
You do, because they're between the Zoom and the. Did you want to buy toilet paper?
And my God! Yeah. And the feeding the elderly. I mean.
Yeah.
Everyone else had a pandemic off, and Flappers had a pandemic on. Like it was
right. They just threw everything at the wall, trying to make another $12. They totally did it, and we both did that show with Pardo. And oh my gosh! So my anecdote in my weekly, because I'm still doing the weekly email, was me sitting awkwardly with Angel Gaines and Jay Leno, and because I didn't know. I just, there was just such a weird silence in the room.
Right.
And nobody was introducing themselves to anybody. It was just me, Angel, and Jay. And so I said to Angel, "Hi, I'm Jackie Cation." And she said, "I'm Angel." And we shook hands, or we waved, because she was wearing a mask. And yes. And then I turned to Jay Leno and I said, "Well, I know who you are. I'm Jackie Cation." And which is a weird thing to say, but I was like, I was uncomfortable. And then there was a giant silence. And I said, "Well, I have a good story about you being a good guy from the 90s. And he goes, "Really?" And then I told that story. And he was like, "I remember that guy. That would have been 20 years ago. And I said, "If not 23. Yes. And he's like, "What happened to Greg Fidler?" Yeah. Anyway.
Do you think he's awkward around female comics you never put on The Tonight Show when he knows that we've been doing stand-up the entire time he had The Tonight Show? Maybe that's an awkward feeling.
I could have told him that story, which was when I impromptu opened for Dennis Miller in Reno.
Right.
And I was doing The Catch at the Reno at the Silver Legacy. I was headlining The Catch Rising Star. He was doing The Theater, which is in another part of that Silver Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Casino. And so the club owner, the club manager comes up and says, "Hey, Dennis Miller forgot to get an opener. Could you go down and do 20 minutes and open? You can have $500. And I said, "Yeah, right now?" And they're like, "Yeah, right now." So I went downstairs and did 20 minutes, and then I got off stage. And as we passed, and I used to have it on tape because I recorded my set. He said, "You're great. Has Jay seen you?"
Oh my God.
And I said, and this was, I don't know, 2004, 2003.
Right.
And I said, "Jay who?" And then he said, "Leno." Because I couldn't think who he meant, because the Bob and Bill, or whoever, the two Bob and Ray, who are the
Bob
two
and
guys?
Tom?
Bob and Tom.
No, the two guys who booked the Leno show.
Oh, Bob Ross, and I know who you're talking about. I forget the name of the other guy.
Yeah, they all had four first names the two of them. They all had first and last names that were
Ross,
first names.
David, Jim, Bob. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Anyway, but those guys never liked me. They were never into me at all. They never thought I was the right fit. And they weren't right, by the way. Could have done it. Turns out I'm a hit everywhere. Yeah.
Guess what? After 10 years, everyone's got 6 minutes they could do on late night. I believe almost everybody, you know?
And yeah, unless you...
There's a few, it'll be, okay, you're never, but you could find you could find 5 to 6 minutes if you work with somebody and help them out a little bit. You know, some people don't know, they don't know, understand what can be on TV, you know, or they don't know they have to work around whatever host sensibilities. I remember when Corey Kahaney, I first moved to New York and I was doing this Two Boots Pizza. They had a room downstairs and Two Boots Pizza on the Lower East Side. It's a great little room. And I was still doing an impression of my mom that killed on the road. And she goes, "Don't," she goes, "you gotta drop that. Letterman hates when female comics talk about their moms."
Oh,
and I dropped it for no reason.
Because Letterman didn't care. And,
but yeah, it's weird. Like I was there too with you, with Leno, and I've never met him before. And, I think he is uncomfortable with comics. He doesn't know. Right.
Yeah, like, I just don't think he's great socially, and that's okay.
He usually hangs out at Comedy Magic where he knows everybody, and since they're not open yet, you know, Flappers is a new place for him to hang out. It's a whole group of comics he's never met or had on The Tonight Show. It's just like a lot of, it's a lot of energy, right?
Mm-hmm,
I had to go up after him, and so Gary, who was hosting, Gary Cannon, goes, "What's your intro?" And I just said, "Writer for Conan." Just let him hear it as he leaves the room.
As he's escorted from the room. I was like, I, you know, it was hard. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I know why I was later in the show, and it was because everybody else asked to go up early so they could leave.
Oh.
Not
me.
Not you. But it was me and Preacher Lawson.
Yeah.
So who closed, and everybody was great. It was a great show. Oh yeah,
it was a great show. Preacher mm-hmm. was hilarious. You were hilarious. You were fucking on fire. You know, Leno, they love Leno. He did mm-hmm. he did fine. Angel was really funny. I've never even mm-hmm. seen her before. She was really funny. And Pardo, right. Oh my God, I love Pardo so much. I'm so glad to see him. He's so funny. I haven't seen him
He's
in so long.
Funny. And I know that when you see him do the crowd work and you know that he's done some version of that.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a guy who's like, what's your name? And the guy said his name was Tommy. And he goes, oh, I'm Jimmy. We're adult men with children's names.
No, he said and, Ricky. Ricky,
oh, it was
even
Ricky.
Worse.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. But then he talked about how Bill Dwyer, it was oh, Mike yeah, Kaplan, yeah, yeah. Mike Kaplan, how he spells his name, and Bill Dwyer, how he spells his name. And it made me laugh because I'm mentioning three different comedians in my set.
Comedy's becoming quite self-referential. Yes. I still pretend I've never met a stand-up comic in my act.
Can we do another break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And we're the hosts of Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a Simpsons adjacent podcast where we talk to Simpsons folks about non-Simpsons things.
That's right. So in the past, we've gotten to talk to legendary showrunners and writers like Al Jean, Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein, Dana Gould, Mike Reese, and David X. Cohen.
Voice actors like Maurice LaMarche, Maggie Roswell, and Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson herself.
Hell yeah. So we've been away securing guests for our final five episodes. We won't tell you everybody, but we'll let you know that the last episode is kind of a big deal. We got Matt Groening.
Homer's dad.
We got Homer's dad.
Check out new episodes of Round Springfield starting June 21st.
On Maximum of Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Smell you later.
Smoke them if you got them, you guys.
Jackie, even though I worked a bowling alley, I was thrilled to work a bowling alley. It felt really one-nightery, and it was like, this encompasses, you know, I'd love all the comedy experiences, you know?
Right.
Even if I'm following someone who's doing a lot of crowd-pleasing stuff, and I'm like, you know, and I know that I have some bits that will not please this crowd, I'm still like, let me add them. You know?
Yeah. When you said bowling alley in Encino, I was like, ooh, that's by my house. But Simi Valley, I don't even know where that is. So
it's way out there.
It's out there, right?
It's yeah. where I live and I'm recording right now.
Oh, is it?
Pardon me.
Is oh, it you're in not the shadow? Wrong. Nothing you stated is incorrect.
Is it in the shadow of Magic Mountain?
No, it's literally no. directly next to the valley. I'm 15 minutes from you, Jackie.
Oh, right. You're close.
Yeah. So,
but is Simi Valley where Rodney King was beaten?
It's where the trial happened.
Okay. Right. And
long proud history of awful, awful things.
Innocent. Yes. Yes.
Right. When Laura House did a bit last night, she was like, I was raised by a racist dad. Anyone else? And then it was such a great bit.
That's great. Oh my God. I miss her.
Oh, me too.
I listened to Tiny Victories. I mean, it's her podcast with Annabella Gerwich, and it's mm-hmm. only 15 minutes long, so it's so easy to commit to. You know, it's right. like you've going to a CBS. You got knock out the first half on the way, knock out the second half on the way back home.
Seven. Done. It's yes. Every podcast that I've been doing lately, everybody else's, I've been plugging Andy's podcast. He has this podcast that he's doing called Ethics in Video Games.
Oh, yeah.
Where him and a philosopher, a guy who teaches philosophy, discuss different video games and, you know, the ethics of monetization and the storylines and all these different mm-hmm. things. And it's, but I've not listened to any of them. And I said to Andy the other day, what day does Ethics in Video Games come out? And he goes, that's an excellent question. So he has no idea. I think it's Wednesdays. So
okay.
But I think there's like 10 or 15 episodes out now.
That's really
cool.
He's
been doing it for a couple of months. Yeah.
I have a guilty pleasure podcast that I'm not even going to say the name of the podcast because I don't want this person to know. I listen to their
podcast. Chat.
The chat.
No, I can't touch my iPhone. patter. I'm going to lose contact with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, ooh. What if I, if it's, I'm just going to guess.
Let's
and pray
take guesses,
that
Jackie.
And pray that it's not true. How about this?
We both guessed.
Wait. I don't see. Hold on. I'm afraid if I even look.
You can
chat.
Do it. I don't understand why there's wicker involved, but
I put a hat over the iPad so it wouldn't get overheated.
Okay, because you're out in the world. Yeah.
No, you're all wrong. Ha ha.
Good.
We both
good.
Are. Damn.
Yes. Yay! No, I'm happy though because those are both weird.
But this it is a comic podcast, and he fucking hates everybody, and he hates people I hate, but he hates people I like. But either way, I just appreciate the balls out cranky dumping on people, and I love hearing it. It's like if he came after me, I would be like, yes, do it. So I listened to that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, no, I think that that's if he came after you, you would feel validated.
I would. That's why I do this podcast with you every week, because you come down hard on me.
Exactly. That's my next guess. And
I had this to say. I mean, I'm just trying to kill time till the hour's up. Did you have a thing you believe in fervently?
Do I have anything that I believe in fervently? I'm actually without faith right now. It's very sad.
So I tweeted a picture of how I told my son, my friend Cheryl went to her house and she got a gigantic pizza, like the biggest size, right? And my son had a little bit and she said, take the rest home. So we bring this giant pizza box home. And so I go to sleep, but I say, hey, could you put the pizza away? Meaning put it in something, you know, put it in Tupperware, put it, condense it, put it into something tiny. And he
14,
put the entire,
14.
He put the whole box like he knocked
sideways.
Over milk. Everything's knocked over. He put the box in and went to bed. And so I took a picture of it and tweeted it. And I think it might be my most viral tweet because people are arguing whether that's like half of them are like, I do this all the time. What's the problem? And the other half are like, divorce or whatever. Right. And then there's a second level of hate because my refrigerator is apparently not clean enough for a lot of people. So that happened.
Yeah. There it is. Oh, that actually doesn't look that bad.
Thank you. It's not that dirty.
No, it's the dirt's gross. But what
Jackie!
I meant was where the pizza is. No,
yeah,
I'm just
kidding.
Kind of
in the same boat as Jackie.
It's the fact that the box fit in there is kind of amazing. I thought that the box was bigger than that. The dirt, no, my refrigerator is also filthy. I think I would have cleaned it before I posted a picture or photoshopped it, which would have been harder, but I would have taken that effort just so that I wouldn't have to deal with humanity. And
well, you know what? I guess you like to lie to your audience, but I don't. You should see this car. You think that my fridge is bad. This car is disgusting.
I remember you were going to lend me that car one time. And I swear to God, my first thought was, I'm going to take it and get it cleaned.
Wow.
And then I'm going to borrow it. And use it to whatever I needed to borrow it for. But I was going to take it. Kitty Corner from Magnolia Grill is a very nice inside and out car cleaner.
Listen, this is not what this podcast should ever be about, is my car. We had, you know, Conan, of course, this week is our last week. If you're listening tonight, you know, we have like great comedy coming up. We've had some really great comedy on this week because we've had a live audience to play off of and stuff. I'm writing monologue jokes again. I feel like my old self, you know?
Yeah, you do.
But we all met at the theater and Conan and Andy and various writers would sit and we would talk about like pieces we had on the show. Kind of like a behind the scenes kind of thing that's going to be part of Team Coco's YouTube universe that will live on post Conan's late
and
night
he's,
career.
He's still doing his podcast too, right, Conan?
Oh yeah, he's doing his podcast and he's definitely doing his podcast is killing it. We're like, hey, could you mention the show on your podcast? But yeah, he's doing the podcast and, you know, hopefully prepping, or it seems like excited for whatever he's going to try to do on HBO Max. But yeah, it's just like it's a really sad week. Yeah, and of course, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of my mom's murder by Donald Trump and Deborah Birx. So,
what a week. So that was, what a week. That's a lot, man.
And my son became fully vaccinated on the same day that my, anniversary of my mom's death. Yeah. Which is so crazy.
Yesterday was his 2 weeks.
Yeah. Two weeks after the second shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Peak.
Did I tell you my mom, three days ago, her picture popped off the wall for no reason.
Right.
2 days ago, I was standing next to the Weber grill that I got. Thank you, Twitter, for logging in or weighing in on that. And the top popped off the grill for no reason. The whole top. That's half the Weber just popped off. Well, I'm standing next to William, who knew my mom, the contractor we share, he knew my mom, and he immediately started praying to her.
What, did she give you the Weber?
No, I don't know. I think she's just poking. She was poking me before the anniversary. Maybe she thought I forgot or something.
Right, right. I would. I tend to forget. not your mother. My own random deaths. So,
sure.
Yeah.
But it's weird the first year, it's just a special time where that person was alive this time last year. And then they go into, now they become part of the history. Like, I'm so used to my dad being dead. It's weird. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, he's dead. He just lives in my memories now. And my mom, because I'm still in the same house, I still feel like she's right around the corner. But
I think that year is super important. I think that that traditional year of mourning is, for some reason, also, there's an arc there that happens, and it may be physiological, just because everyone I know who's died in the last couple of years, they're surviving, you know, their kids and their spouses and whatever. That first year was just sort of a numbing kind of time, time when you're like, there's the grief is, it's numbing, whether or not, no matter how much, you know, if it's someone you're close to, it's that, but it doesn't even matter if it was something that you wanted, you know, or not wanted. But
Jackie, are you going out of your way with this tortured explanation because you think I wanted my mother dead secretly? No. And you're like, I have to. Oh, okay.
No. I know that you didn't want your mother dead. I know that you joked about not missing her. But the thing is,
I wanted to murder her. That's right. I didn't want her actually dead. I wanted to participate in her death. So that's what was taken from
that
me.
That was the twist. And that's what was taken from me. Yes. Yes.
Ah, shit. Everything fell. Okay.
But you're still there. It's still happening.
Barely. Yeah. There's how much more time can we have?
4 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
Right.
Well, so I went for a walk today and I found the street that the moon tower's on. Like the last 2 days, like yesterday and Thursday.
The moon tower's on. Moon tower's just a festival that takes place everywhere, right?
Right. But it's mostly on that Congress.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought where the creek in the cave is and where this place is was so far away from it. It turns out it's just 4 or 5 blocks. And, but it's so hot out. It's literally, and super moist and gross. And,
is Moon Tower happening right now?
No, Moon Tower's in a month. I asked if I could be in it. I was told that they passed on me this year.
I guess I'd know when Moon Tower was if I was in it. So that's
You would.
Mm-hmm. But everyone passes, they make their own choices, and I support all of them.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Choices have to be made. And but I think that there's even a poster out of who's coming and going. So I was supposed to, I had a weekend booked in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
But that guy emailed me and said, asked if he could move it to 22. And I was like, okay. I think they're not George Lopez. I think no, I'm uncertain. It continues to be.
I'm pretty sure he has a calendar and he's just calling every club. For some reason, he's fixated on ruining your career.
I'm just taking every weekend that I was booked at, and it's just the one. It was just the one, and too funny. But the looking forward to. I was looking forward to trying to book something around the Humboldt County is like 6 hours north of the Bay Area.
Yeah. And six. I mean, Reading is three exactly from my parents' old house and
Arcata.
That's another couple hours up. It's so beautiful up there. Oh my God. Eureka, Arcata.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
This guy named Dan Kaufman used to book a bunch of gigs up there. Major Pothead. It was he was always barely had it together, but he did. And man, those were fun gigs.
Yeah. And so I was trying to book like a couple of gigs in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I'm trying to figure out when Throckmorton's going to reopen.
Oh.
And I have not yet gotten a response from Throckmorton. I've tried two different. I've tried to email and I tried to text. And so I guess not at this time. But okay. And then I'm trying to figure out what else is happening. But it's a weekend gig, the Humboldt. It's a Friday, Saturday. And there's a flight out of Burbank that flies into Arcata that isn't bad.
Oh my God. Is it that airline that's like a corporate, a little corporate jet?
Yeah. It
flies to Concord as well, I think. Carlos Alzraki was telling me that. Concord is right next to Walnut Creek, Pleasant Hill. It's the East Bay.
Oh, okay.
It's like east of Oakland, other side of the Caldecott Tunnel.
Okay.
Maybe too many directions.
Right. I stopped listening at Walnut Creek because I know where that is. And thanks a lot.
Boom. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.